And welcome back to Mobile and Ladd Peebles Stadium for day three of our live coverage of the Senior Bowl South Squad practice. Brian Sexton along with senior writer John Osher. You don't need the shades today, big guy, but you're so used to it, huh?
Brian, I am not acknowledging it.
Sunny disposition all the way?
It's a bright week. It's a bright, sunshiny week, and I'm staying with it.
All right. It is supposed to rain later this afternoon, but I think they'll get this practice in before it's all said and done. We have spent most of this week working on the Greg Olsen, Doug Marrone story, sure. How it impacts the Jaguars. For a couple of days there, you know, would that be it? Now we're finally turning our attention to this ball game.
Right, and I think there's still things that are going to happen on that front. They still have staff decisions to make, but that'll happen next week. For the fans out there, I'm sure we'll have some sort of media access to Doug Marrone and Greg Olsen next week. So that story will continue next week. We're here, and if people, you know, can see the stands, this is the last practice of the week. So it doesn't seem to be quite as well attended by media types. The scouts will certainly be here. We're going to try to get some people on later on in the show, but so far this is a pretty light attended practice.
We have Tony Buscelli mic'd up.
I'll just stand and make fun of that. How about that?
That, we could just turn the camera on that and let that go for the entire broadcast. You're going to step out and have a conversation with Mercedes Lewis.
I'm going to talk to him around the top of the hour. Is that TV lingo, top of the hour?
TV, radio, broadcast, the whole thing. I had a quick conversation with him yesterday, so I'll share that once you've talked to him. And, you know, we get a feel for the Greg Olsen hiring from a player perspective.
And the overall thing, you know, if you talk to people a couple years ago when he was here, as I think we mentioned yesterday, a lot of respect for him in the locker room, and I kind of get it. I wrote this morning on Jaguars.com. It's not a hire that is making people jump off the walls in excitement because they're familiar with him and there were other names out there. But this is the guy they wanted, and you don't hire for the excitement in January. That's not what this was about. Greg Olsen, Doug Marrone, they believe that is a combination. If they can go in, take a look at this offense, get something done to build around these players, they like Greg's experience in that regard. So, you know, it's all the stuff that you want. If maybe you took the names off, would be things that fans were just going crazy about because they've got the experience. This guy is a well-respected guy. So, I think it's a good hire. We'll see what happens.
I got a lot of questions on Twitter. I'm sure you did also about what style of offense Greg is known for. And we had Paul Boudreau on, the former Jags offensive line coach who worked for Greg in 2006. And he said, look, he'll take the players and he'll create the style based on that. But here's my question to you. Do you sense a particular tilt either way with Greg Olsen?
Well, I don't. I got the impression everything you hear is that they didn't throw the ball downfield in Oakland, and that's a concern because all fans wanted them to throw the ball downfield here. A lot of times, with
spirit of Al Davis, by the way, wanted him to throw the ball down the field last year.
But a lot of times, that's dictated by your personnel and what you're able to do. A big reason the Jaguars didn't throw the ball downfield more last year, hard to do that when you're giving up 71 sacks for whatever reason. So I get the impression from, you know, the few times I talked to Greg when he was here before, but talking about Greg, he will throw the ball down the field if it's there in the offense and if the personnel is there.
Someone told me, someone that I respect, that Greg Olsen likes to run the ball also. Wow. Which brings us to the question, Jaguars in the market for a running back, or did they solve that last year? And they'll get a healthy Toby Gerhardt and more experienced Denard Robinson this year.
Well, I think they would like to have somebody to compete with those. And whether that competition means, if you find, it's the best way to say it is, I don't think there's very many positions on this team, running back included, that if there's an opportunity in free agency or in the draft to get a guy they think is going to make a difference over what they've got, I don't think there's anybody, there's no position maybe aside from quarterback that they wouldn't go after something there. So, yeah, running back, I think if there's something available in free agency where they think this is a lot better than what we've got, I think they'll go after it. It's hard to know until those things come about. Much like on draft day, it's going to be hard to know. If there's a Todd Gurley sitting there at the top of the second round, that's going to be awful tempting because he can be a high-impact player. So we'll see.
I was just talking to Brett Green, who worked for years in the Jaguars video department for Mike Perkins and who now is the video director at the University of Georgia. And he said from standing next to him and watching him live, the only guy that I've ever seen as big and as impressive as Gurley is Fred Taylor, which is a nice comparison. Of course, sure. Fred didn't come out of the college experience and go into the draft with an ACL right. that had been repaired.
Well, and they've shown a willingness to do that. Aaron Colvin last year, they thought, this guy's a guy who can clearly help. We're willing to wait for him to get fully healthy. Is this the year where you necessarily want to be spending the first 6 to 8 games waiting on a guy? Will that be Gurley's situation? I don't know the specifics enough to know that. But, again, I think if in the second or third round or in free agency somewhere, if there's a running back there that would make an impact, this feels like the year to make a move on it, whereas the last couple of years weren't. You mentioned Greg Olsen earlier, the running game. So much in the offseason has been quarterback-centric. And we've talked about Blake Bortles so much because he is key. But you also get a very distinct feeling from early on in the process. A lot of this coordinator search, Doug Marrone in the offensive line, it's about getting the running game going. And, you know, Gus has steered clear from trying to create a carbon copy of Seattle. But you've got to think that he certainly looks at Marshawn Lynch's success, that team's success, being able to run the ball, play defense. You're always sort of comfortable with what you know. And they played well, the Jaguars did, for 4 or 5 games midseason last year when they got the running game going. So it would not surprise you somewhere deep inside, Gus is hoping that in those meetings when Doug Marrone and Greg Olsen sit down, that that starts to be the way they gear. And if that's what he's hoping, it's probably what's going to happen.
You know, we're going to at some point check in with Tony Boselli, who is over there with that offensive line.
I can't wait for that.
It's who we've got mic'd up today. But, you know, Lyle Collins is the big name, right? Top 10 draft pick by a lot of folks' estimation from LSU, who's a tackle. Darrell Williams, the kid from Oklahoma, has had a pretty darn good week. Another big guy, 6'5", 334 pounds. I mean, he really has stood out as being a big, mobile guy. So there's some talent over there that they can look at round 3, 4, 5.
And it's funny, I haven't talked to Tony about Collins, but talked to different people. Some people, hey, Collins had a great week. This kid can play left tackle. Talked to somebody today, mixed reviews. You know, hasn't been that great. So that's sort of what you hear from here. I mean, from talking to people today, which is really the first day I've had a chance to talk to people around here about the game, you hear quarterback, not surprisingly, not a great Senior Bowl for the quarterback position. There's really only two guys, and maybe Brett Hundley, in this draft who people are excited about. Wide receiver, pretty good group, it sounds like. Offensive line, okay.
Tight end, I've been told, is really thin.
Yeah, and linebackers, I've heard, not great. And again, it's not surprising because a lot of your impact guys aren't here. I think you've heard the same thing. Best player here is Danny Shelton from Washington, defensive tackle. Last year, Aaron Donald, who went on to play for the St. Louis Rams and was the rookie of the year, had a phenomenal Senior Bowl. You've heard comparisons to Danny Shelton, not in terms of the kind of player he is, but the way he has stood out this week. He's over at the North, so we haven't seen much of him. But he's had that kind of Senior Bowl where, you know, almost a little surprised he came because he's shooting up the draft boards, has not hurt his stock at all.
I've heard that he could go in the top 5. That's how dominant he's been.
Well, and this is the kind of game, as we've alluded to all week, pass rushers and defensive tackles, I mean, any defensive lineman, and offensive lineman to a degree, can really show their stuff because of what you're able to see in straight pass rushing drills. There are oftentimes where that position will make a real move at this game because the scouts can really see something tangible and they see them against better competition in something close to a real game experience. It's not a real game, I get that. But when they perform at that position here, scouts tend to trust them a lot more when they go into their draft meetings.
Two guys who stood out in terms of, you know, that Leo position, that 6'3", 250 pass rusher guy, and I won't even pronounce his name. You tried yesterday, the kid from UCLA.
I didn't do very well on that.
No, I didn't think it was your best effort.
It's a failure. It's good. Right.
And the other kid is Geno Grissom from Oklahoma, who's, you know, 6'3", 265-pounder, who had a pretty good day on the practice field yesterday. I mean, there are some guys out here from that perspective they can go and look at.
Yeah.
Trey Flowers, too.
Overall, I've heard this game maybe not quite, it was a really good Senior Bowl last year. This may not be quite that level, But again, everybody you talk to, this game does a great job of getting players here that are going to play in the NFL and possibly very quickly. So again, a good year, maybe not quite last year.
All right, let's check in with Tony Boselli, who's mic'd up for Jaguars.com.
Keep your weight. That's all right. Here we go. Next guy up. You haven't played a lot of tackle. Let's go. Right. Here we go. Left side. You're left. Here we go. Give me the left side. Here we go. Nope. No, see, look, you're bailing out. It's the same dang thing we saw on film yesterday. You're so worried about getting back here. He gets inside and you have to open up. All your boy, everything is on your heels and everything's going back. You have no ability to sit down. You got to keep your weight here. Yep, here we go. Let's go. Hey, long. Hey, like, where were we all week? I mean, what are we? I missed something there. Come on, Ari, run. Get that second step through. You know what I'm saying? Don't be short on your second step. Glenn, you been in a three-point much? It's pretty dang good. Never been in a three-point either. Yeah, you look good. You're doing good, man. I missed something. Toss crack. First down. Go to the right.
Step. Okay, pull on the left. Pull on the left. First down. Lower, Trey, lower. Dunk. Okay, here we go. Right here, guys. Partner up. Partner up. Here we go on set progression now. Set progression. Outside chain. Tight man mark. Tight man mark. Tight man mark. Yourself some room.
We got all this grass.
Wait, on the whistle. Step forward. On the whistle, step forward. Give him your chest. We'll go three outside chain. Three head up. Three inside shade. Here we go.
You want bowling on the last one, Luke?
No, just gonna go quick.
Okay.
How fast can you get the football position? Snap, guy. I want to see a
ball. Right side or left?
Yeah. All together.
What are you doing today? You're right? Shade. Right, you're right.
Ari, whenever the fuck you're ready, Ari. Dunk. Dunk.
Don't jump. Stay on the line of scrimmage, Ari. See how you're hopping a little bit? Don't hop. Hey, Shaq, come across so he doesn't have to hop out there and reach. You know what I'm saying? Come into him. He's big and strong. Ain't going to hurt him. Now, if I was over here, you'd really take it easy like you just did.
Is the third one a bull rush?
No, we're not doing that. Just.
Head up. Down. Down.
Down. Hey, Ari, if he's a heavy, heavy head up, you can set inside too. Here we go. Go, go.
Down. Put your hands on him. Down. Good, good. All right. Get him up there. Up. All right, that's three. That's three. Hey, get him up there. How fast? Get him. Okay. Same time. Step in, okay? Hey, switch it up. Switch it up. Outside today.
All right, Shaq. Let's keep the head out of it. Move that. Don't get too wide, Blaine. He's right there. You don't take a huge kick. There you go. That's better. You don't take a huge kick.
Head up. Down.
That's good. Good.
Down.
Good job, Blaine.
Down.
It's a good set.
Inside chain.
Here, spread out this way because he's inside now. Both inside. Blaine, get over here because he's both on the same side.
Inside chain. Down.
Yeah, you're about to take two. Take two steps there. There you go. See, Trey, if he's that far inside, we want to cover him up. Because if he's rushing, let's say, a 2-eye, we want to cover him up to take away that inside rush. Because where's the one place we don't want to get beat? You want to get beat inside. Shortest line. Because so if I'm just taking one step, look how wide I am. And now it's really hard for me to move my feet. And so if he's inside, that's two steps. You got to get those two in front of him. All right, cover him up.
Okay, here we go, guys. That first group that's going today on the first line going out, and that second group about 5 yards back in the end zone. We're going to say that tight end is going to go walk through, guys. We're going to go walk through. They busted your ass for the first 2 days. You were 2 days for the game. We're going to be honed down on our calls, on our rules, you know, on our assignment. So right now, what are we going to do? Tight end to the right. They will always be to the right.
You want me to be a tight end?
No, you don't have to be. Let's see if we're going to Okay, we're not walking. Let's see the stand. 7 feet. Huh? 7 feet. Yeah, no, we'll be okay. We'll just start right here. But tight end to the right, and it's an under front. You got a shade here. You got a 3, a 5, and a 5 and a 7 over here, okay? Give you a play. Give you the cadence. I want to hear your calls. Second group, you can back up a little bit. Make sure we're making calls on the cadence now, okay? So here we go. First play, we're going to go I right, 15 week. I right, 15 week. Get down. Get down.
All
right, 15
weeks.
What's your call? Under front.
Single, single, single,
single. What do you got, Ty? What are we on, Luke?
I'll tell him what to call, right? I write 15 weeks.
Sponge, sponge.
Single
that back. Yeah. You got to lead back. Don't forget, it's 15.
Right, 15 weeks, first down. Here we go. Walk through it now.
Get down. So you're both base now. Base reach.
Good, that's it. That's it.
You understand that? If you're, hey, Julio, if you hear a backside A, your front side, now you know you got that 3 technique by yourself.
Okay. Let's go. All right. 14 gut. All right, 14 gut. On the mic. First down.
B, backside.
Down. Good.
Okay, cover him up. Hip to hip. Work your footwork right now.
Slot right.
Well, if it depends, if he's a wide three, it depends where he is. Let him dictate what you do.
On the mic.
Okay.
First down. Down. Good.
This has got a front base reach, right? By yourself, 1-on-1.
Here we go. I right, near right, 18 sweep. Near right, 18 sweep, on the mic. First sound.
Double.
Sound. Down.
No, what time double is that now? I mean, what time is that? Eight. What time eight is that? B. B. It's quick, so right? So you can go. Straight arm, go. You got to get there.
On the mic. First sound. Double.
There you go.
Communicate, guys. These guys aren't
this wheel's coming here. You got him.
To figure you guys' calls out. So again, double. Echo the call. Help each other out. I'm not hearing a lot of talking. Make sure loud. Communicate. Here we go. I write 16 power.
Jeff Hinn.
Back.
Yeah.
I heard a deuce.
Oh, shit. Don't rob a bank with him now. Here we go. I write 12 draw. First down.
What's your call?
Yeah,
it's
an
ace.
Yeah, here we go. I write 12 draw. First down.
Down.
Right.
Better.
One more.
Better, yeah.
He's leaning.
Well, I mean, you just want it. So if you're the one, and I'm here, you got here and got pushed on.
Yeah.
I just want to be here and not let him push me off the
door. Okay, hey, let's do this now. Now, hey, still in under front. We're going to go double right. 9 week. Tony's the mic.
Single, first down.
Double right, 9 week, first down. Down.
Who are you singling with?
Sooner.
Very good.
9 weeks.
Make sure, hey, He's first time playing left guard this week. Make sure you communicate with him.
Sam's walked out. Double right, six plant. Double right, six plant. You got a shade?
Yes.
First down, first down.
You're wrapping to the front side backer.
No.
Inside out when you get around. And so if we have a tray, you might get all the way around the tray if they do a good job and knock it down, all right?
Okay, let's do this. Let's go near right, near right. 14 gut Casper. 14 gut Casper. Under mic, under mic. First down, first down.
Double mic, double mic.
You don't have to be too quick. You got time to sell it. Yeah. No, no, that's fine.
So, Ty, here we go. I'm kind of working around over here, okay?
Are we pod right here?
Here we go. We're in pods. We're in pods. Here we go.
We're in the half line again.
Left side over here. Left side over here. I'll take left side, okay?
Yo.
All right, water.
Here you go.
Yo. Yo, defense, you ready or what?
You're right guard. Come on. You're right guard. Right over here. You're right guard, right? Yeah. Yeah, we're open. Are you the second right guard?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What's first play?
Go. Get the rail, get the rail. You gotta go, you gotta get there.
Way to get going, Joey.
All right, that's Tony Boselli mic'd up as part of our Jaguars.com live. It is an exclusive, and we will have more of that in our broadcast today.
Exclusive? You mean there's not a million people clamoring for Tony Boselli mic'd up?
Let's be honest. If there were two, Tony would do it. If there were four, Tony would do it.
That probably wasn't a hard get for our guys to get it mic'd up.
No, probably not at all. Also, you will find more of it on the web tomorrow and throughout the weekend. Talk to a couple of guys, a couple of scouts standing here while we were focused on Boselli. A couple of guys from Miami have stood out. The tight end, Walford, and Philip Dorsett, who's a small but speedy receiver wearing number four down in the corner down there, really have caught the attention of scouts with their ability to catch and get off the jam.
My understanding, and again, we were sort of chasing the Greg Olsen stuff yesterday, heard that the tight end from Miami had a very good day yesterday. What you sort of heard from him coming in was that he was the guy who was sort of rising up a lot of media and internet draft boards, whatever that means, but that the scouts still had some questions on him. So if we're hearing that he's having a good week, then a good week for him and an important week for him.
Heard that he, Walford in particular, is a guy, he's not a great blocker, but it's hard to find guys that do both.
Sure.
But a guy who catches the ball well, and you got to have that.
You're thinking he's going to be in Jacksonville. I see where you're going with this. Pass catching tight ends, South team, Senior Bowl. You're putting two and two together. I like that.
Trying to, you know. Sometimes it equals four. Sometimes it's three and a half. You figure it out as you go.
Do here. I mean, Dave Caldwell said it, and very exact. Some players that are out in this field are going to be in the Jaguars camp next year.
Well, and they did it last year.
Right. And, you know, some won't be. He was, again, very specific. Hey, we're going to see some guys that we really don't fit. But something like that, a third, fourth, fifth, sixth round, some free agents, that sort of thing wouldn't surprise you. If he's playing as well as people are thinking he's playing, pass-catching tight end, that would be a fit because I don't see them doing that in the first or second round. And I think they'll pursue that position in free agency. But as we said a lot, free agency can be a little bit of a crapshoot, and you want to be careful. You want to make sure that you get what you're paying for when you're doing that.
And you're trying to figure out right now, for instance, Julius Thomas is the big name, right? He'd probably be the top tight end in free agency. You got a new coach there, but Kubiak likes to use tight ends. Right. Look the way that he used Owen Daniels all those years that he was in Houston. Right. So maybe he keeps him, but then who can't he keep? It's that value choice, you know?
It's that real, you know, and I asked somebody at some point this week, just sort of have a conversation. You mentioned a guy like Devin McCourty who's playing for New England right now. And there's all kinds of talk, you know, online when you talk to people. Oh, he's going to be a free agent, poor guy for the Jaguars. And then somebody says, do you really think Belichick's going to let that guy go? So you hear that about all these top guys. Realistically, your top 15 guys you're talking about in free agency right now aren't going to be the top 15 when it comes around. That said, you get a distinct idea, and it's from listening to Dave Caldwell, it's from reading the tea leaves. They're going to spend, and they're going to spend big in free agency. So the afterthought of that is, from somebody who's covered this 20 years, okay, that's good for the Jaguars. They're going to get some players. Be smart and be careful, because you can spend a lot in free agency and think you're getting something and it not be real.
So well,
it's going to be a very it sounds like it's going to be a fun march, an entertaining march, and a very dangerous march.
See if I remember 2008 right. $10 million to Jerry Porter, one touchdown catch. $10 million guaranteed, actually almost $13 million guaranteed to Drayton Florence, who was gone 2 years later, and then more than $2 million for Cleo Lemon, a backup quarterback. Yeah, no, we've seen firsthand where the money spent like a drunken sailor generally gets you drunken sailors.
Now these, I like that. These guys have done a good job for the most part so far. I say the most part, they did a good job of targeting guys that they get with a low risk and a high reward. Derek Marks, Roy Miller, Alan Ball the first year. You know, they've gotten better in free agent. They've had more good free agent signings than they have bad, and they haven't hurt themselves with it because they're in a position where that wasn't going to happen. Again, once you start getting into the kind of money that people think they're going to spend, and it sounds like they're going to spend, now all of a sudden your risk goes way up. So, again, chances are if they sign five guys this time next year, one of those is going to be perceived as a bust. That just happens in free agency.
Dakota Watson.
But you want four to not be. And that's sort of your percentages in free agency. If they bat 800, that's really good.
Correct me if I'm wrong. This is not the year where they have to get to that 90% average on the cap. They don't have to go in this year and swing wildly. They're choosing to do that because of what they perceive to be a market worth it.
Well, again, we're talking about this. This is speculation. You know, that's what you get the feeling they're going to do. Maybe a little more than they have the last couple of years. But no, my understanding is that all the talk of having to spend, that's not really how it is. It's just more of a, hey, we've built the base. We've gotten guys in here. Now it's time to see what free agency can bring us. How extreme that is, that does remain to be seen.
One of the positions they could go after in free agency is right tackle. And there are some names out there, Doug Free from Dallas is probably the most prominent that people know, although he's a 31-year-old player. Seems to be beyond that 26 to 27-year-old that most general managers are looking for.
But Dave, on the other hand, and again, it's important to reset storylines when appropriate. Dave Caldwell, in the post-season press conference, said pretty clearly that that's been the target area, but it's not going to be absurd to go outside that target area this time around. So, again, he says that in January, or he says that in December. Is it a case where you go back and look at things and reset a little bit? Sure. I mean, not everything that happens is said in December is going to be the automatic game plan. But there certainly sounds like there's more of a leaning toward, hey, if this 31-year-old guy can help us in the next 2 years and get us real tangible benefit on the field, then that 31-year-old guy is okay to pursue.
You are watching live coverage of day three of the practice sessions for the South Club, which is, of course, coached by Gus Bradley and his staff. Right now, Tony Boselli is out working, and you can see some of the offensive linemen down there. There's some big bodies out there. Some rain is forecast for later in the afternoon, but I think we might escape that at this point.
I hope so. I didn't bring any rain gear. Our Jaguars.com producer has this big bag of windbreakers. Nothing for me in there.
No. Now, when do you unveil your you do a free agent value board? I'll wait till the draft.
I'll get into free agency probably right before the combine, and I try to dig into it. It's tough to do a free agent value board before you know who's there. So it's sort of a quick turnaround. Right after the combine, a lot of these names come off the board because the franchise tags are put out. Once the franchise tags and the maybe an occasional transition guy are put out and they've done most of the re-signings, then we'll start getting into charts and those sort of trackers on Jaguars.com.
Got a ways to go. I mean, it seems like this offseason is going to fly by because we're almost at the end of January. The combine's, what, 3 weeks away? A little more than 3 weeks away?
There's a long period in March and April where it's going to drag. So, and it's, we'll be doing some more pro day coverage, which we did last year and is very popular. We're not sure which ones we're going to yet. So that picks it up a little bit. But then once you hit about the start of April, there's a 3 or 4 week period where, you know, most of the people who are watching us read the site. We'll have the reader mock draft again. We'll have a lot of mock drafts and a lot of fun kicking it back and forth. But it gets long, and by the time you get about a week out, you're ready for the draft to come around.
You know, I figure you could make plans to be in Los Angeles for a pro day, and probably Lincoln, Nebraska also. Those are the two best defensive linemen in the draft.
Some flights. Let's put it that way. Yeah, I mean, Leonard Williams, Randy Gregory, guys like that. We're toying with the idea maybe of Alabama, FSU, simply because they're, you know, southeastern and they're going to have a lot of, you know, high-level talent. So it's sort of in that area where you look and try to see what you're going to get the most bang for your buck.
All right. Well, this is about it for our coverage. The Senior Bowl obviously is played Saturday night, but that isn't the important part for the Jaguars and the staff. They're getting the most quality work done right here and right now.
Yeah, and again, it's the last open practice of the week, so that's why there's certainly a feeling here that not a lot of the media comes out to this. They've done their jobs, and a lot of the flights home are scheduled for tonight. So this is very much the wrap-up day.
Time you fly out of here.
I will be flying out Air DeCandis. Our producer, Dave DeCandis, will be driving as soon as we can get out of here.
And that's a first-class seat, right?
Oh, it's a first-class seat. Right. Everything Dave does is first-class, Brian.
John, thanks so much for being a classy guy all week long.
That's me.
We appreciate it. Appreciate you joining us here at Jaguars.com Live. Don't forget, more coverage tonight, tomorrow, in through the weekend of our week here covering the Jaguars coaching staff at the 2015 Reese Senior Bowl. Thanks to Dave DeCandis and Pat Cavanaugh and to Chris and the entire crew back at Everbank Field. Have a great afternoon.